breakaway over the blue line, cuts to the net. What a play!
Ryan Fashanu.
Throws to the back of the end zone, and it is caught for a touchdown!
Do those moments thrill and exhilarate you? Do you want to be a part of the excitement? Join the CATR Sports Collective. The show airs every Thursday at 3:30 p.m. and live broadcasts volleyball and basketball games at the War Memorial Gym. We need collective members like you to host color commentary and talk all things UBC sports. Everyone is welcome and there's no experience necessary. Email volunteer at CATR.ca to get involved.
Welcome to Textbook on CITR 101.9 FM. I am Dora, the Vice President of the CITR Student Executive, and Textbook is kicking off 24 Hours of Student Power. I am joined in studio with, please introduce yourselves.
I'm Hala, I'm the President of the Student Executive. So stoked to be here.
And I'm Lucy, I am the Executive Large on the Student Executive.
And you just heard Die For by Mama Rude Gal. Mama Rude Gal just won Shindig, 34. 27 bands, 26 winners, because one band just didn't show up, so they don't get to win. But she was great. We're going to be playing more songs by the other contestants who performed this year a little later in the program. But for those of you who don't know, Textbook is kind of the Student Executive's radio show. we've kind of co-opted it and tried to redo it. It hasn't really been super successful, but that's okay. But we're just going to do a special episode for 24 hours because we care, we're students, we have power, and that's what it's all about. We are going to go through a couple what I think are really cute segments.
We're having honestly, I feel like with radio, you just need to be straight up sometimes. We're just trying to figure out earphones, and it's like this mime party. It's a good time in here.
Yeah, I mean, we're off to a great start.
I think I've been doing fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
You've been leading us to the start. Like, we're failing over here.
That's okay. I mean, I don't think headphones are like a super integral part of radio production.
Yeah, we're all about transparency here, you know, trying to figure out. This is when people know that you too can do student radio.
Oh, yeah. You can run it. You can have no idea what you're doing.
Yeah. If I can't get my headphones to work and all I need to do is plug it into a headphone jack, like, you can do it too.
Just need to run this org. Yeah. So I would love to ask you guys a couple questions about CHR student exec and like CHR lifestyle. And Helen and I have like kind of already gone over this like in the first episode of Textbook this year. But I want us to all tell our like CHR like initiation stories.
Ooh.
Does anyone want to go first? Or can I
I'd love to go first.
I was born to go first.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, I'm president for a reason.
So. Oh.
Whatever. I joined CITR January of 2016. 17? 16.
Everyone's on the edge of their seats right now.
Yeah, oh my god. It was your second year, so it was 16.
It was 2016. Yeah. And I had done a tour and then sort of fallen into CITR's worst nightmare, like the pit of people that take a tour and then just never follow up. I was one of those. Which is like probably
like
my greatest shame.
80% of our member base, though. Yeah. Honestly.
So and then I just happened to keep seeing Eric Coates, who was the president at that time, around, and we would chat every time. And then in December of 2015, he was like, "We had two student exec members
quit."
You just
went backwards in time, but that's okay.
Yeah, because I joined in January 2016, so he talked to me in December 2015.
Oh, I feel you. Okay, we're getting
there's
real
a timeline.
Background.
There's a timeline. And was like, "You should just be on the exec. Like,
that
you
is
don't,
so funny.
You don't really need to interview. You don't need to run.
Just do it.
You're on the exec.
It's so fun."
So yeah, and I have not been able to drag my skeleton out of here, like, literally ever since.
Now it's a skeleton. Like, she started off as a whole human, and
you
it's
know,
just
yeah. It's like those photos of Obama. I don't know if you've seen this. You know exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah, where he just like gets more and more haggard.
Yeah. So he starts off and he looks like a young, like, ready to go, like. How old is he when he got elected? Like late
40s?
Yeah. And then by the end of it, he like has like hollow cheekbones and is like almost
fully
completely
white.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And Michelle Obama looks like she like got younger somehow. Like,
like sucking his essence.
Yeah. So yeah, like I'm the Barack and Dora is the Michelle in this scenario.
Oh, look
oh my
at
God.
That.
And there's and forever youthful.
Forever youthful. Our youthful spark over here. And also there's an interesting additional story to that, which is that Hala joins CITR on the executive. I don't even know she's on the executive. And we're in a class together. I think this is this time, right? And like you're just like standing, like I just remember very distinctly, like you're eating something from like a Tupperware container, and we're just like standing in the lounge, like arguing about our professor. Like we've literally almost never had a proper conversation before this, and we've both just come from class, and Hala's like, "She's the worst," and I'm like,
"Wait,
she's the best." And this
was
is
this
like
the class we all had together.
Yeah, yes. And this is
oh,
like,
I hated that prof.
I love her with all my heart, but like, I can see the how difficult she is as a human. But it was just this like first conversation. It was like not even like, "Hi, hello, how are you?" It was just straight up like, "No, she's the worst. No, she's the best. Oh, you're on the exec. Cool." And then that was like the forever friendship of CITR beginnings.
What
you know?
A gorgeous story. I feel like, okay, this is, yeah, also really cute. Let's just talk about how we met Hala.
Aw, this whole show. How you met the president. Hala just hugged herself,
how
by the way.
We
well, we had that class together, and then I
with
was...
With Macaulay? Was that our
no,
first
no,
class?
No, no, no,
no.
No,
Tal.
We had this
Tal
class
was
together.
First.
Yeah.
Oh.
Because that was second year. We had Macaulay in third year.
That's right.
And, wait, is that right? No, that's fully wrong, because he had already left
He had already
year.
Left by third year.
So... That class was in first semester, though, I think.
Right? No, because I was seeing Garbage Man at that time, and that was in the spring.
Yeah, well, this
so
is
then
like
we must. It must have been the same semester.
Detective work.
Because he was in second semester. He was in the later semester. Because we, yes, we totally bonded over. We both had a huge crush on our Professor McCauley.
Yeah.
But also I remember, because I was new media and you'd been new media the year before, or that year.
Right.
So we had like a, just like
crossover.
Totally.
Session, right?
Well, yeah, but also it was, that was kind of like a, oh, we're the same person moment. Like it was like, oh, we both are taking classics, which is like a weird thing to major in, and like we both love this prof, and we're like both in this like crime and society class, and like we both are at CATR and we're both doing new media. It was just like, oh my god. Which was
same
really cute
person.
Yeah. And then I feel like we went like to an event together, like a shindig, like a CATR event, because I learned more about Garbage Man outside of the station and outside of class.
Okay, and then it just got so fully integrated.
Yeah. Yeah.
I feel like everyone can connect with the whole Garbage Man thing, by the way. Is this, like, use of a different name for someone as like, a nickname to share with your friends?
I don't know if it's a nickname so much as a, like a accurate description.
Yeah, just, like, you're terrible. Like... many regrets.
I kind of hope that this episode just evolves into a like dating history.
Yes.
Oh no.
Never say never.
Yeah. We never know. This is the first hour of 24 hours of student power. Like things can go anywhere.
We have 24 hours.
Oh goodness.
It'll be an exciting next 24 hours.
Yeah. So just to reel us back in, I got started at CATR through the what was then the Women's Collective, what's now the Gender Empowerment Collective. And I met literally all my friends that way. It's funny, I was at a party like this last weekend and the coordinator of that collective was there. And one of my good friends, Claire, was like, she was kind of drunk, but she was like, Liz, thank you so much. Like, we're all friends because you did this. And it was like, it's been 2 years. How is this still happening? But it was really cute.
That was such a beautiful beginning, too. That was like the Gender Empowerment Collective had just started, or the Women's Collective, and it was like 25 people would like regular, oh, maybe I'm over exaggerating, but it was literally probably at least in the range of 20 people would regularly show up all the time, sit in the Discorder office, like sweat it out in that little office and just like crunch in because everyone was so stoked to be there and so excited about it. And it was like the beginning of the collectives and everyone was so full force into it.
Yeah.
Like it was almost like, hey, there's other collectives. And everyone's like, no, gender empowerment is awesome. Like people were so committed, which is great. Awesome.
Yeah. But it's also, I think that speaks a little bit to like, just like, so that year, three different collectives were introduced, the Accessibility Collective, the Indigenous Collective, and the now Gender Empowerment Collective. And like, of all of those three oppressed groups, like, women and like diverse genders have the most agency. So like, I was a little, it's a little weird looking back and being like, oh, it was so successful because like, women felt like really comfortable in the space when the other two groups just didn't, and it's like hard to get in.
Yeah, there is something to be said though, and we think about that now even when we make collectives, and this is not to negate your point in any way, but that with the coordinator comes the collective members.
Yeah, totally.
Right, so we do see this thing even now, and you can see it, you can transpose that idea into other places where like a group will only be as successful as like the outreach of its leader.
Yeah.
And so, like, Liz was the first coordinator.
Yeah, and she was fantastic.
Right, and she sort of had this network already of, like, empowered, autonomous, like, women and gender diverse folks that, like, wanted to, like, and needed a place. And so, like, that, I think that's probably, like, how it came together so quickly.
That's really true. I fully agree with that.
And also, like, such a glowing human being that, like, like such a ray of sunshine that everyone was immediately, like, totally attracted to their energy and the, like, the space that was created there was really neat. I think that it was, and it's so nice to see, like, even 2 years have passed and we've got eight collectives now.
Who knows?
Who knows? I like
an undetermined amount.
I throw out a different TBA. Number every day. I'm like 12, 7, 15, who knows? But yeah, we have so many now and that's so beautiful because, not to segue, but into my origin story, I like to joke that I'm like the grandmother of the place because I started actually in 2012.
How
way
old
back
are you?
When.
Yeah.
What year is it? Like, so when I graduated, I when I was in high school, little old Fort Langley, my sister had been to UBC, and I was, like, determined to come to UBC. I wanted to be just like my big sister, and she actually used to be really involved with the radio station through her partner, and he was really engaged with the station, and she, like, knew everyone here and just, like, knew that it was a cool space and knew that I loved music and was like, hey, like, you should join CITR when you go to UBC. And so I was, like, all for it. Came to UBC for Imagine Day and, like, saw all the, like, booths and stuff. And I was like, nope, I'm going straight for CITR. And, like, walked in and just, like, talked to someone. No clue who they were.
Yeah.
Still to this day, do not know who they were. Never saw them again. But it was great. And it was, like, I was, like, so determined. And then went in for my tour, went in, got my membership, and then did not come back for 6 months. Like, was just, like, so into it and still did not commit for so long because I was, like, weirdly intimidated. And this was also the old station where, like, it's this, like, back corner, dark cave, single hallway where, like, the office at the other end, sometimes there's someone sitting there and they'd watch you walk down the hallway. And it was just something really intimidating about someone, like, really committing to coming in. And I remember just, like, being, like, and, like, finally committing. And then by, like, second year, I was on the student executive in the volunteer coordinator position. And again, like Hala says, my skeleton cannot be removed from this place, except that, like, every other year I do leave the country. So that's kind of a part of it. But anytime I'm in Vancouver, I'm always here at the station because it's such a beautiful place. And as soon as you get involved, you're like, oh, I'll just, like, do this one thing. And then, like, 75,000 things come up and you're just, like, not mad about it.
I think that, like, also I actually joined my first year. I just didn't start until my second year.
Same with me.
Wow.
Same person.
It's actually just one person doing a different so, like, doing voice projection, like,
but I, like, went in. Hugo, the old volunteer manager, did my tour, and then we're being like, oh my god, they're so cool, like, oh my god, this place is so scary. And, like, because I joined because I was/am really involved in the Film Society, and they were, like, a lot of crossover friends and stuff, so I was like, oh, I kind of have to join. And I went in, I did a tour, bought a membership, never went back. It was so scary.
Mm-hmm.
But it looked cool. It was, like, a cool, like, vibe.
It's like you felt like you had to, like, earn your place for some reason, and then you, like, start being involved, and you're like, oh, like, everyone is just, like, A, super swell, and B, like, super confused all the time, like, just like you are.
But that's the great thing about, like, not to promo our new station, like, I feel like I do that all the time, but, like, that's the great thing about it is that most of the front of it is glass. Like, it's so much more welcoming. It's in a space where people walk past us all the time. You don't have to go, like, there is something definitely to be said about the inaccessibility of, like, going up the stairs in the old sub and going to this, like, back hallway and then down this, like, L-shaped station. Like, there is something to be said about, like, how intimidating space can be and how much better the space is now. Like, we have people that come in all the time that don't actively volunteer, as far as I can tell, but just come hang. And that's great that we facilitated that kind of space for that.
And the students that we're involved in like, more of a class capacity, like, spend time working on things here. Like, they don't just use the space for, like, recording. Like, they use it for, like, meeting together. And I think that's something we're still working on, like, improving, but it's, like, really nice to see when people just, like, want to hang out in the lounge and there's always people hanging out and spend and just, like, having meetings and, like, you know, even unofficial things where people are just constantly working, and it's this, like, space that feels vibrant. And the idea that we can, like, look out of this window and see the, like, main student nest area is amazing. Like, that's the classic radio, like, student radio from way back when, like, picture you have in your mind, and it's beautiful that we get to be part of that.
Totally. This has also been so beautiful. I'm gonna play a song and a couple community messages, and then we'll be right back. I'm gonna play a song by Necking. They're featured in the current issue of Discorder. They've been really killing it lately. This is Daddy Issues off of their album Meditation Tape. You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM Textbook with Hala, Lucy, and Dora.
Be your daddy now. I'm gonna be your You're listening to CITR 101.9, broadcasting from UBC's Point Grey campus, located on the traditional, unceded, Coast Salish territory of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people.
Born out of an initiative to give more voice to local women artists and musicians, Mixtapes is a Vancouver-based biannual mixtape featuring women-identified musicians and sound artists from the Pacific Northwest. The Spring 2018 edition will be coming out on May 10th, with all proceeds going to the Downtown Eastside Women's Shelter. Women-identified artists are invited to send their submissions to btchtapes@gmail.com. The release fundraiser will be held on May 10th at the Redgate Review Stage, featuring artists selected for this edition of the cassette. Is Coco Hamamatsu talking about koi fish in a pond or the youth at CITR and Discorder? Get info on your wares, services, or events directly to students, musicians, artists, and all the coolest cats from Bellingham to Squamish by advertising with CITR and Discorder on air, in print, or online. This can be your reality if you email us at advertising@citr.ca or call 604-822-4342. Visit citr.ca for rates and packages.
Hey, welcome back to Textbook on CITR 101.9 FM, broadcasting live from the unceded Coast Salish territory on UBC campus, Vancouver. This is Textbook. We're kicking off 24 hours of student power. And Hala, do you want to read the sketch?
Yeah, I'm really stoked. I've been doing all the Facebook promo for this event and getting 0 to 1 likes on every post. So it's been a real roller coaster for me in my new position.
Serious ego hit here.
Yeah, it's very serious. So I want to talk about the interviews I'm going to be doing, actually, cool. To focus on them instead of just reading out a big list.
Yeah.
So tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. to 9:30, I'm interviewing Alan Aaronholz, who's the president of the AMS.
Is that his last name?
I don't know if it's Aaronholz or Aaronholz, and I'm too unsure to ask at this point.
Just be like, oh, do you introduce yourself?
Yeah, so we're going to be talking about a couple of more contentious AMS topics. So that's going to include a conversation about the new AMS expulsion policy, which has had a lot of coverage in the UBC lately and in UBC News Council tweets. So we're going to talk about that, specifically with regards to some backlash that the policy is pretty anti-homeless and pretty exclusionary. We're also going to be talking about the AMS communications policy. So they've had a lot of changes as of late with regards to how the AMS handles media requests. And this doesn't affect us so much. It's mostly been affecting the UBC. But I think it's really important that media organizations sort of stick together and are aware that communication policies can be a form of exclusion and not giving full access to information.
Yeah.
So yeah, we're going to touch on those topics. So that's from 9 to 9:30. Then at 10 a.m., I'll be talking with Micah Burlow and a couple other execs from Blank Vinyl Project. So we're just going to be talking about events that they're hosting. Goose Hunt is coming up pretty soon, which is an annual event that they do. And they do events pretty regularly where it's like build a band, like learn how to write songs and talk about. They have a full-on studio up on the fourth floor.
Oh, which, weird.
Yeah, not a lot of people know about it. Yeah. So I think we're going to be talking about all that good stuff. And then at noon, I'm talking with the UBC Classical Near Eastern and Religious Studies Association about upcoming events. They're having an alumni night coming up and they're doing elections for their student executive. And we're going to be talking about Logos, the undergraduate journal that they run.
And then finally, my final interview of tomorrow is going to be at 5 p.m. So I'm talking to Myra from Sprouts. And that interview is going to be talking about what Sprouts is, because I feel like, similar to CITR, that's one of those organizations that people still don't quite have a grasp on what yeah. they do. And Sprouts is finally moving into their new location in the next couple months. So hopefully they'll experience a bit more stability, and I'll talk to Myra about that. So, and then I'm sticking around for live bands. So we're having live bands tomorrow night from 7 to 9 p.m. here at CITR. There's no cover charge, and we're live broadcasting the event. So we're featuring Gulo, Turinesh, and Vishal Vishare, and that's from 7 to 9. We just restocked the beverage machine, so bring coins.
Yeah, for sure. And actually, Sprouts is another one that my sisters were really involved in and loved. Learned, like, so much about cooking and stuff. So, like, if you're interested in veggie cooking and like really cool people, that's like definitely one. I don't really know the other ones so well, but like, shout out to Sprouts.
I'm excited cool for the Sinners one. I think that'll be really engaging and exciting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, cool. I'm stoked on all of them, actually. I'm really excited for the one with Alan, because it's the one that I feel is going to be like the most, like,
it's punchy.
Exactly, like, it's a mm-hmm. super punchy interview. The other ones are going to be great too. But it's going to be a nice long day. Like, I know for everyone listening, 24 hours is a long time to listen to our content.
And so, to create content.
Yeah.
Oh, so my goodness. Yeah.
Everything is podcasted. You can listen to our archive after the fact on CITR.ca. So don't fret to my dad, who's definitely listening. You can listen to your beloved daughter's voice later.
And, can I talk about the interviews I'm doing?
Definitely.
Is that A-okay? So I'm doing, I've done two already that are going to be playing tonight. After textbook, we've got Discorder Radio. And then after that, we've got 2 hours of some kind of, like, in my personal opinion, really interesting content of the Hempology Society and the Psychedelic Society, which are that I did over the last couple weeks and have spent blood, sweat, and tears editing, because as Dora and I were talking about earlier today, pre-recording becomes this whole mountain.
You're playing yourself if you're pre-recording.
You are playing yourself, because like, if you were to listen back to even the last 20 minutes or so of content that we've just created here, you would be pulling your hair out with the amount of things you'd want to edit.
But at the time, I would be appalled if I listened back.
Yeah.
But at the time, it feels really natural. And then you go through with it. And like we were saying today, then it's gone. It's done. It's been live. And like, you just have to get over it. Mm-hmm. But when you pre-record, you spend so much time trying to get it to the best possible way. And a lot of the time, there's nothing you can do but edit it. There's no real big fix that you can make. So you have to just sort of like hope for the best and work with the skills that you have. And this like horrifying and but also lovely program called Audacity anyways, and just sort of hope try to figure it out. So in Hempology, they Hempology and psychedelics, they're like activism clubs that really focus on awareness and reducing stigma around the uses of these drugs, but also there are sort of like medical uses, scientific uses. The Hempology 101 group are really focusing on talking about legalization for the people, so that now that legalization is kind of coming down the track, how to make this a thing that best supports people who really particularly who need it medically, and hoping and not putting them in a position of criminality due to like having too many plants, or maybe being in a position where buying it actually on the legal market is way more expensive than they're used to in the medicinal side. So this is sort of some of the issues we talk about with them. And then Psychedelic Society is actually two neuroscience researchers, and they really know their stuff. Psychedelic Society is really new, and I feel like a lot of people do have a bit of an eye roll kind of response to it, but it honestly, these two guys really knew their stuff, and we had a great conversation. Manesh and Eric had so much really exciting stuff to say. There's a part where Eric starts talking about like receptors in the brain, and I was just like, whoa, buddy, I don't know what's going on, but it's brilliant. And then tomorrow I'm going to be also from 3 to 4, I'm going to be interviewing Chinese Varsity Club. So that's going to be good fun, pretty just like lighthearted chats with some of the exec members there.
That's really funny that you should bring that up, because we were just talking about that in my podcasting class. on Wednesday. We're talking about we did a like live talk with someone from the British Columbia Substance Use Center, and he was talking all about that organization like aims to not promote drug use, but to put language like in the arsenals of folks so that we can talk about it in a way that's productive and generative and also is safe for users and trying to reduce that stigma. So he was talking about an article that was on the front cover of the Georgia Strait a couple weeks ago that was talking about using LSD like in medical research and I think also in like reducing drug addiction.
Yeah.
So it was really cool to like hear him talk about that.
Yeah, they but actually both groups talk about using the drug for like transformative purposes. And also like you can listen to the interview. It'll be from like 11 to 12 will be Hempology and then 12 to 1. Again, it'll be podcasted. But basically what they're talking about is not just like using the drug like recreationally and throwing it away. They're really talking about engagement with using these things that is like really trying to use them in medical purposes like you'd use other drugs, having a regimen, having sort of a system of going about this. So it's like a very different interaction than I think a lot of people think about it. And I had a great time talking with them. We played a few, like played some games and played some tunes and just had a blast. So that'll be from 11 to 1. But if you're not a night owl like me, you can see that on CITR.ca later when we podcast it.
Also exciting. I also have some cute content. So I think most of my job was, or like involvement in this was like just poking people to make sure that they could get content coordinated. But obviously I'm doing textbook. I'm hosting Discord or Radio the next hour where I spoke with a bunch of the masthead and also have exclusive interviews with all the shindig bands. And then I'm talking to the Vegan Society tomorrow morning, which I think will be like really informative for me as someone who is like vegan in like really broad air quotes as I like ate meat like 3 days ago, but that's okay.
Best foot forward too, you know.
Yeah, I'm trying. But then I also my favorite, but something I'm really excited for is I interviewed the Africa Awareness Initiative. And that's playing at 6 a.m. today. It's like an hour long interview of just like them talking about things that they do. And I didn't know that any of them existed. So that was like really fun. And all of them were like really nice. It was really cute.
Cool. Yeah. So that's just like some of the content that we've got going on. Over the next 24 hours, we've got podcasts from the Land and Food Systems podcasting course from 2017, UBC Happy Hour, content from Sports, Into the Woods, AMS Bike Co-op, The News Collective, Music Affairs Collective, All Access Pass, Intersections, Unseated Airwaves, and Radio Pizza Party, which is run from the UBC.
So exciting.
Yeah, I'm stoked. We have such a stacked lineup this year.
Yeah, I'm happy that we got it to 24.
Yeah, absolutely.
That feels really good.
It can be really hard to get it to 24 hours, too, like especially in the kind of nighttime content. I think we've had a couple years. In my first year of CITR, there was like a point where two of the guys, Ryan and John, were like on air for like 5 hours, just like going a little nuts. Ooh. And it just turned into like the strangest, and like later was like super entertaining. But it's really cool that we've gotten like 24 hours of properly like formatted content. And that's really exciting to know that it's just like that's a huge sign of how the station has transformed. It's not so much just about like putting us on air for 24 hours and like putting out whatever. Like we're really presenting voices of students and presenting topics of students and really trying to put our best foot to say like, here, we're a thing, like use us for student content.
Yeah, totally. I also like, I mean, I felt really disappointed, or like I was frustrated with that, like I couldn't fit more people in.
Yeah.
So if you're a club organizer and you're listening, you can do this next year if you're not doing it already. Like, come on, like have an hour, talk about whatever you want to talk about, have a half hour, talk about whatever you want to talk about, or like just have like a promo made for your club. Like we are, I think like sometimes it's easy to forget in just how kind of like massive we've grown in such a short amount of time that this is like a student run and like student centered station, and like we're actually here just for students to have a platform. Like if you're a student, you belong at CITR.
and you, like, have a place, which is, like, really, really cool.
Yeah, and you actually don't even necessarily have to wait until next year. Like, you can contact one of the student executives. We can even get you on in, like, a fill-in. It doesn't necessarily have to be a regular show. Or, think big, guys, you could have your own show. Your club can have a show. Like, that's a thing. As long as everyone's trained and everyone knows that what they're doing, who's, like, working on the actual, in the physical boards, then you can do this, too. Like, have a show with a that talks about the content that you guys do, or if you have a journal, you know, it's so, our audio is a platform that's actually really growing, you know, like people said video killed the radio star, but like we've got this whole, you know, podcasting.
I'm still here, so we know that's not true.
Yeah, we're here. We've got it covered. So like that's
radio stars are burning in space right now.
In co-op and community radio, we're burning it up. So this is the thing, and like make, you know, make a podcast for your club. It's totally doable, and it can be such a rocking good time. Just listen to how much fun we're having.
Oh, heck yeah.
You can have this much fun, too.
I'm going to play another song, just so we have a little break and a breather. This is Memorial Cup by Chris Arific. Chris Arific is not a student, but he is a longtime programmer, and his EP is coming out on the last day of the last Friday of March, I think, is when his launches or his EP releases. But this is a kind of a sneak preview. It's called Memorial Cup off of Postseason. You're listening to it on CITR 101.9 FM.
The first job that's hiring.
I'm Melissa. I'm a settler from Epiquette or Prince Edward Island, the traditional territories of the Mi'kmaq peoples.
Hi, I'm Ben. I'm Jewish and Korean and grew up mostly in Shawnee territory in the United States.
My name is Autumn Schnell and I am Treaty 11 Gwich'in and Inuvi Alouette on my mom's side, and on my dad's side, I am of German descent.
And we're members of the Indigenous Collective.
Do you have a passion for Indigenous issues?
What about decolonization?
Our show Unceded Airways airs every Monday at 11 a.m., so come by CITR to hang out.
If you're interested in Indigenous representation and empowerment, or just want to hang out with cool folks who are, then this collective is for you.
Email volunteer at CITR.ca to get involved.
Are you looking for your next step in education or to travel? Learn about undergraduate and postgraduate programs, professional degrees and doctorates, as well as work abroad, language, travel, and internships at the Study and Go Abroad Fair on February 25th at the Vancouver Convention Center. Admission is free, so check out www.studyandgoabroad.com for more information.
Hey, welcome back to Textbook on CITR 101.9 FM. Broadcasting live from the unceded territory of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people here on UBC Vancouver campus. We have gone over the ins and outs of 24 Hours of Student Power, which is what we are kicking off today, with all the special content that we have planned and all the exciting interviews that we have. But now we're going to do a really cute segment that I came up with. It's called My Favorite. So the idea was that everyone was going to come with a list of their favorite whatever. It was purposely vague, and I got really excited, so I want to go through mine. We can maybe go through yours later if you want. So the first one is my favorite CITR and Discord memories. Don't look. So this is like in no particular order, but when I first started, when I was doing Lady Radio, we did an episode on menstruation, and that was the first real interview that I did, and I was like, oh, this is so easy, and like I'm like connecting with this person really well, like it went really, really well, and I felt really like good about it. And then also we did that episode, it'd been my idea to do that episode, and a dude sent us a Facebook message after and was like, hey, I was listening to you in the car, and you really like opened my eyes on a lot of issues and like a lot of things, which was like the first... That's like the memory that I have in my brain that's like, oh, what I'm doing like is kind of important. Like the work here is like sweet. Do you guys have similar moments like that or?
Yeah, I told a story about having my teeth pulled on John Q's show, Cue It Up, for I think it was a Halloween episode. Mm-hmm. And it was like a pretty like bloody and graphic story. And it was one of those moments where you don't stutter on telling your own story. Like you tell it really well, like you've practiced a lot of times. And it went really well, and it was really funny to me because it was John and I talking on mic, and then you can hear a whole bunch of staff that had crowded behind me, like, laughing at parts of the stories, like, in the background of the audio.
That's so cute.
It was really cute, and I played it recently when I was hosting Textbook back in September or October, and I got a message from someone being like, I've heard this interview with you before, and I just wanted to say it makes me like want to laugh and vomit at the same time every time that I listen to it, and I love it, and I love this story. And it just feels so validating that you're like, I did a good thing.
Yeah.
Like, I made this, and I'm proud of it, and other people think that it's good.
Totally.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. I don't know if I have a singular moment quite like that where I've gotten a response like that. But definitely my first major interview was like with a band called Good for Grapes that I've really loved since I was in high school. And they actually went to like a neighboring high school. Mm-hmm. And I remember like knowing of them. And there was like, I went to an art school. So all these like bands and stuff when we were like 14 or 15, we're like, okay, they think they're bands. And then go like 5 years later, like 4 years later, being like, they were out in the Vancouver music scene doing really well and getting this opportunity to be like legitimized by the radio station, mm-hmm. getting to like have a backstage pass, go talk to them, like go joke around with them in the backstage of the show and then get free passes. I was just like, this is rad. Like, this is like what it means to be media. And I haven't, like, I've got this really cool opportunity. And also I don't know, it wasn't like
it was this huge thing that I had to do. I just had to show up and be there and like care about what they were doing. Mm-hmm. And I just thought that was so exciting, and I was so proud of the interview. The recording was garbage, but I edited it like entirely to just try to increase it because I didn't know to point the mic the right way, but it didn't matter in the end because I just like edited it to make it sound better and it was fine. And I just like had such a kick out of doing the whole thing and just loved that whole experience of being able to say like, I'm media, and getting that like validation of that experience.
So that, I think you brought up something that I think is kind of a commonality in all of the things that we told her, that like you just have to care about it. Like that maybe is the biggest thing that I've learned, is like connecting a good interview or just like being a good like observer and like professional observer kind of, is like being invested in the story that you're telling. And that I think is like such a good lesson that I've learned in my life, like just caring. Mm-hmm.
That's so true.
Thanks.
Tell us your next favorite memory.
Okay, so I think you might have sneaked because you seem really excited for it, but my next favorite one is doing karaoke with Hala.
No.
At the AGM. No. After we've been elected, because Hala had never done karaoke before, and I love karaoke, and we had like just like had this like victory or whatever, and we did Britney Spears' Oops, I Did It Again, and it was really cute.
I love that memory too. My like strongest memory from that is when, so we gave speeches and then left the AGM and then went outside and were eating powdered donuts, waiting for people to cast their votes. And I remember just being covered in donuts and then being ushered back in. They're like, great, no abstentions. Yeah. You're voted in.
No, I have, same. But also, I remember I was wearing all black. I had donut powder all over me. And the social media person at the time was like, okay, photo op, like for both of us in that moment. And it was like, please, literally any other time.
I love that photo, though, because I wasn't in the country this whole time that you guys were in, like, on the exec before, like, in CITR. I mean, Dora, you were kind of the our movie liaison person before. And then I come and then I check the CITR Instagram, and it's like, Hala and Dora have been elected. And this was, like, the coolest moment, because every other year previously, it had been, like, these people that I had – that had already been involved in CITR before me, who had, like, had this sort of air of, like, knowing what was going – like, okay, not that you don't, but it was, like, this idea that people were, older, and I thought, oh, they've got it sorted. Like, they know something that I don't know. And then just seeing, like, my, like, friends that I had kind of, like, come up through CITR with being in the same position was, like, this is rad. Like, this is so exciting. And so being so excited to come back and, like, see y'all do your thing.
I've been really grateful for being VP. Yeah, I've been really grateful to have you as my VP. I think about this all the time, and not to be like a huge sap, but like, I don't know how I would have done it without you.
Oh my god, this is my new favorite moment. I forget that one.
Aw, babes.
Dude, duh. I mean, ditto.
Yeah.
Not duh. Duh was like the
I meant to say ditto first.
Duh.
Okay, tell us your next favorite.
Okay, this one might also be like premature, but yesterday was a really good day. Valentine's Day 2018. Hala bought me jelly beans. I looked really cute. I did a really good training. Like, it was just like a day. Like, I love Valentine's Day in general because it's a day of people like being in love and like feeling like cared about. But it was my first time like kind of like in a workplace where it was like, oh, I'm also friends with all these people and like we all care about each other. That was really, really cute.
Yeah, I find it really funny when people are super cynical about Valentine's Day. Like, yeah, I get it. Like, it's super corporate and, like, there isn't a lot of, like, genuine feelings that are associated with, like, the origin of Valentine's Day. Yeah. And I can totally understand that. But it's, like, just to have some empathy. Like, have a little bit of, like, love and compassion on Valentine's Day.
Yeah, and also, like, the thing – I can see people getting, and I have seen people getting wrapped up in, like, oh, it's a romantic love. Like, it's just for me and my partner. It's like, no. You love everyone, and everyone loves you. Like, celebrate that. Embrace it.
Yeah. I love Valentine's Day. I'm kind of obsessed with it.
Brick, yeah. This is why we're such a good team.
Because we love all the exact same things.
And also, it is, like, this kind of, people consider it to be, like, a very corporate, like, holiday. But it's also, doesn't have to be about buying people things. Like, showing love, I think people have often, like, in this sort of world have equated it with, like, things. But, like, something as, like, freaking precious as buying someone some jelly beans can go like a long way. And it doesn't have to be this whole big gesture. It's just like, hey, you're rad. This is me showing you that you're rad. And that's like all it really needs to be. But also, I have no connection to Valentine's Day. And people, I just really hate it when people are like, oh, you're just bitter and single. It's like, no, it's just like, it's just another day and that's okay.
Yeah.
I think that's the either side. If you like don't need to celebrate it, it's not because you're like angry at the world. It's just because like you have a lot of homework and like it really, it's not going to faze you if you don't celebrate it. And I think like that's all cool. Just like peace and love. Let people do what they feel.
Yeah. I do think that people capitalize on their own cynicism on Valentine's Day. Like it is totally an opportunity for people to like weaponize the fact that they feel like alone and that they're not being validated in some way. And I think capitalizing on that day is like an injustice to your own feelings and to that day.
Yeah.
It feels like inappropriate to me to like vilify Valentine's Day just because like you're dealing with some stuff and because you feel sad that you don't have a romantic partner.
It's just like a scapegoat, but like be reflective. Think about it a little
bit. I agree.
And you like must love somebody in this world and show that person that you care.
Yeah.
Right? It's like and maybe if that's not a connection that you have, like think about the ways that you can make connections in your life with people that you maybe haven't given an opportunity or something. Like I agree. I just don't think it should be this case of like I'm angry and bitter and alone and like harumph, so like be sorry for me, you know, like it's like you can like not acknowledge it, but it, which is like fine, but it's like which is what I kind of do, but also like I'm not like woe is me. It's kind of like I love a lot of people and
yeah, you can either acknowledge it positively or just not acknowledge it.
Just not acknowledge it. Who cares?
You're also like wasting your energy that way.
There's a lot going on yesterday that like was like not Valentine's related that was like entertaining me a lot. Like it was like I didn't even have energy or time to think about it. And that's, I don't know, it's just, it's all good. It's all Gucci. Like,
yeah. And there's another exciting thing about Vancouver, which is that the Memorial March is always on Valentine's Day. I was sad that I didn't get to go this year. But that like, I think that like that has, I mean, it obviously does so much. But I think that really helped me when I was like forming my opinion on Valentine's Day, be like, oh, it's about so much, about just like caring about a community and like caring about like people who are like valued and missed and like have families and like have relationships. And like that has been really lovely. And like being able to see that too. Mm-hmm.
And any space where women are coming together like that and all identified people, but it's the Women's Memorial March. So a lot of it's a place where a lot of women identified people rally around, and that's really cool as well to have a space where women can be angry or feel passionate about something and like rally around that. That's not like, oh, I'm single. It's like, no, there's so much bigger stuff going on, and this is what we're going to be feeling, putting this energy towards, that's like productive and collective, and that's really, really, really cool as well.
Yeah.
Do you have more favorite memories?
I do. I'm going to try, because we're running kind of out of time, I'm going to try to hit all of them. But my next one is last year's Shindig finale. I hadn't really been to Shindig. I'd never been to Shindig before last year, and I went to every single one as in my capacity as, like, new media. And I really got to know Andy, like, through that experience. I really got to know the people who worked at Pat's through that experience. And the theme was bold. And I remember that day so clearly because that was the day, it was February 3rd, and it dumped snow. Like, Andy got a text that morning that was like, should we cancel Shindig because it's, like, impossible to get around. But it happened. We made it work. The bands were all really good. I, like, went and, like, felt... like I like knew all these people and I like felt very like in a community, and that was like a really big, that was like a nice moment for me, and I looked really pretty.
So always important.
Yeah.
In terms of like when you think those memories and you add and you're like, you know what, and I also looked cute, like a nice little cherry on top.
Yeah. Okay, I have one last one.
Yeah,
and this is kind of like vague, but I just like, I don't know the day, I don't know the time or whatever, but I remember just like walking into the station and like feeling comfortable and like being like, oh, I feel like I belong here now. Like I feel like I'm not like this newbie like floating through this like glass concrete like space. I'm like, I just want to be, I have people here It wasn't very exceptional, but it was a good moment.
Though that's always my favorite thing about coming back. Like, if I leave the country, I get these, like, jittery when I'm, like, going to come back. Because I'm, like, it's sometimes usually anticlimactic because there's, like, two people in the station. But, like, sometimes it's really cool because you walk in and there's, like, you know, people are just like, oh, what's up? And, like, having faces and everyone, like, recognize you and then meet people who are, like, the new staff and get this sort of, like, oh, like, this is Lucy. She's been, like, she just was gone, but she's here back. And like, having this, like, kind of rapport with people is just a really, like, nice thing to come back to. And even just, like, knowing that, like, this is a place where you belong. I say this, like, a million times a year, but, like, you need a community to be a part of, I think, or it's really – not you don't need, but it's really nice to have a community to be a part of at UBC because it is a big school and it can be a bit overwhelming if you don't have a place to be. And in a place like this, it's so nice to have something like CITR. It's like a lounge space and a plate, like a microwave, and like just cool people around. And you just like know that when you get here, you're like home. And it's just so lovely to have that.
I think that concludes our time on textbook.
Yeah.
Do you guys have any last words that you want to leave with the people?
Please listen to my interviews. I prepped for such a long time for them, and I'm going to go home and prep some more on them. So
I'll tune in.
Just listen. Yeah. Just listen as much as like you feel you want to in the next 24 hours, and if not, listen later, because like there's a lot of really excited and like cool people who have created content for people to listen to, and we care so much.
Yeah, and also I think something that I really enjoy about 24 hours of student power specifically is like you're a student and like you're doing your academic thing and you're working on all your other initiatives, but like you can like you have the capacity and like the presence and the power to be involved in whatever you want to be in. Like you just like you have that agency. And this is, like, a really interesting way to just, like, shine a light on it. Or just, like, a really illuminating way for me. Just highlight that, like, in the community that we're in. I really like it.
Mm-hmm. And I think this is actually not really that topical. But this is, like, after 6 on and off years of being at CITR, this is actually first moment in a while that I felt a sense of finality for me. Because I will be graduating soon. Hopefully. And it's kind of incredible to think because CITR has always been such a constant in my life and in the last couple of years. And it's like really weird. I just realized that this is like my last time participating in 24 hours of student power as a student.
Oh, heck
and
yeah.
Soon I will be that that community member category and graduating up. I just have to spend an extra $20 on my membership. That's pretty much all that'll change. But it's just a sense of sort of nostalgia and of all the beautiful things that have happened and how much we've grown. And it's just really exciting to see. And I'm so happy knowing that CITR has just become such like a beautiful institution and that it'll continue on and growing amazingly quickly. It's really exciting.
Yeah, totally. Thank you guys so much for being on Textbook.
Thank you.
You're welcome. We're going to close the show with the song July by Cruel Sport. Cruel Sport is the old co-president Christine's band and the current volunteer manager Eleanor's band. This is July off of their album Shoelaces. Thank you so much for tuning in to Textbook on CITR 101.9 FM.
to the street I choose, wisely where I